You've chosen a podcast from Low Moon Uprising. Enjoy. Yep.
All right. This is Palace Pages, the first episode in February of 2025, which is season 24. And I don't know the episode number. But anyway, it is February 2nd, I believe.
Yes,
it's February 2nd. Okay. And so we rejoined the Palace Pages recently, staying at the Low Moon Royal Retreat south of Southern Miss Cove. Once last we broke, Selena had been assigned semi-permanently to the Falcon's Roost. So she has been tending the Falcons.
Yay.
A couple of days have passed since our last episode, and this particular evening, about 7 p.m., the sun has not yet set. From the Falcon's Roost, it is possible to walk to the edge of the roof and look northward and see a beautiful cityscape of Southern Miss Cove as you're just not even 2 miles outside the city. It's the edge of the retreat anyway, so you're probably about 2.5 miles to the Falcon's Roost. So you tend the Falcons every day, and it's been pretty much, during your training, it's been pretty much every day, all day. So you've not been given, been getting the other assignments. Now, if you're traveling from place to place, like throughout the palace, and they stop you and say, take this message, you still have to do it. I mean, that's still your job. But you are in training to become the senior page in the Falcon's Roost, and to replace your current supervisor. I mean, his hope is that he will be able to go on and become a squire of a certain knight who has invited him to do so. 7 o'clock at night, the sun is low in the western sky but has not set. So probably set, just kind of guessing, probably set in about an hour or so. It's cool outside. You can't see your breath, but stand still, and if you didn't have your cloak on, you'd have a bit of a chill, so you probably do have your cloak on. And the squires who were assigned for the pre-dinner session to serve in the Falcon's Roost totally cleaned the cages out, everything is done, and you don't really have anything like in the way of maintenance or anything like that to do. And so when that time is going on, you just kind of tend to play with the birds and talk to them. And there's one particular bird the bird's name is Muni, M-U-N-I, and he's been close to learning a trick, which is basically like a fetch. So he'll pick up things that you put in his cage and then kind of trot around the cage and give them back to him and that kind of thing. Now, when the senior page is not there, you do not have the authority to take the birds out of the cage because they all can fly, and they will fly. They will tend to come back to the roost because they pretty much know this is home. But then if one of the people who, it's their bird, most of these birds have owners or people that work with them specifically, knights and ladies and people, ladies in waiting and stuff like that. And so if they would come looking for their bird and it's currently off flying and not available, then they might be testing. So you're not really supposed to take them out and let them go on days when no one is around. Like your supervisor's not around, okay? And so you're playing with Muni and working on fetch, and he's a donkey. Anyway, you know that there are currently 3 birds out, and you have all of their cages sitting open so that they can come back and roost whenever they want to. And your supervisor guy let them go before he went off. He's been gone. He hasn't come back after dinner. You came back and were ready to work, but there's no one here to teach you anything or for anything for you to do. So you're just playing with Muni. And as you're doing so, one of the 3 birds returns. And so you first spot him in the sky. It's just a little silhouette. And he dips down below the clouds and he arcs around. You can tell right away by his wing structure that it's not a seagull. And then he sweeps down toward the retreat, and pretty soon you're sure it's a falcon. And then he disappears down below eye level, and then all of a sudden he comes up over the edge of the roof and he zooms right into his cage. So he lands about 25, 30 mile per hour to zero, just like that. So whoosh, stops in the cage. And then normally you're supposed to close up the cage, feed him, make sure he has water, but there's a little bit of food and water already in there, but you'd give him fresh food just in case he didn't do well hunting, that kind of thing. So he's gray with white wingtips and a little intermixed white feathers on his wings, and then he has a bit of white under his left eye. Other than that, he's gray. And he hops over to the edge of the cage where the door is. I assume you're moving to close the door. Mm-hmm. And as you do so, he's rubbing the side of his head against the cage door so that you can't really close the door without the door pushing him back or without you pushing him back into the cage. And there is a glove that you're supposed to use if you have to do that kind of stuff, but you don't currently have it on. So what do you do? The bird's name is on the front of its, the plate on the front of its cage, and the name is Stirrup.
Gotta move your head, Stirrup. You're in the way.
He shakes his head no and actually steps a little bit further out, so now his head and his neck are in the way, and he screeches. Roll a d20, and yes, you can use your fancy dice.
I was about to ask
you. You can use them for proficiencies. You cannot currently use them for combat yet.
It'll take a very long time.
You have to actually spin it. You don't get to control what the result
I'm
is.
I'm not trying to.
Okay, there you go. I'm the D20 one. Okay. So you think he might be trying to communicate something to you. We've had success with that before by kind of like looking them in the eye. So if you can get a look in his eye, you think you might be able to figure out what he's trying to do.
But I do try to figure out what he's trying
okay.
to do.
So you do you want to get the gauntlet in case you need to nudge him or direct his head, whatever you realize, like, even if you put your finger up to direct his head, if he nips your finger, he'll cut through to the bone. Their beaks are so sharp that they can go right through your finger almost.
I do get it.
Okay. You step away, you grab the gauntlet, and then you stow the cage, and you kind of like move his head slightly so he's looking you in the eye. Do you say anything?
You trying to tell me something?
He opens his mouth, but nothing comes out, like he doesn't screech or whatever. And then he ruffles his wings, like flips his wings back a little bit, and then straightens them out, lays them down, and he's looking toward the south. Like looking past you, out between the wall of the cage and you, out toward the south. Yeah, toward the south.
I open the door to see if that's where he needs to go. He needs to go.
Well, the door's open, so he could leave if he wanted to.
Okay.
He spins around, and his tail goes through the end of the water bowl that's in his cage, and then he flips it up in the air. It kind of slings across the back of the cage and into some of the other cages because they're all open on the back sides. And then he steps back up in the door again, and then he jumps from the door of the cage to the leather gauntlet. You had it kind of mostly down to your side, but when he jumps out towards you, you kind of raise it up, and you see that he's trying to get onto it, and so you hold it up for a second, and he's standing on it, and he's twisting to try to look you in the face. He looks very agitated. He's very upset about something.
Okay, so I do look him in the face.
Okay, all right. Roll a d20.
Four.
Okay. So you're sure that he's trying to communicate something to you, and he keeps like pointing his beak and his body toward the south, like he was gonna fly away, but he's not flying away. Okay. At that time, another Stirrup. Another young man named Fallon comes up the stairs and steps out onto the roof. Now, you know Fallon is a squire, and you've met him before, and he has an affinity for the animals, and you know that his master, who is a knight, of course, has at least two falcons here. He's a falcon hunting knight, and he has at least two falcons here in the cages. And so Fallon comes up relatively frequently to check on the birds and like that, and seems to have an affinity for the birds.
What's affinity
mean? Like easy friendship.
Yeah, like
similar to what you have, but yours may go a little further because you can kind of understand what they're thinking a little bit. Anyway, he comes strolling over and says, oh, Stirrup's out of his cage, huh?
Yeah, I feel like he's trying to tell me something.
Really?
I don't know why. He's acting as if he's going to fly off, but he's not. He jumped right out onto my gauntlet, and then I opened the cage to see if he's got it.
Yeah, he turns, at that point, Stirrup turns toward Fallon and does the same thing. He, like, extends his head, and he opens his mouth like he's going to cry out, but then he doesn't say anything. And then he turns and looks back toward you and does the same thing, and then he twists and looks toward the southern sky. Now, looking out that way, past the building, past the retreat, you see the forest. You see the mountain, the hills. It's open countryside. Small villages out there. Couple of windmills, that kind of thing. So, you know, they roam pretty far. So they'll go 100 miles because they go 30 miles an hour. So they, you know, it's no problem for them to go, whether they're 3-4 hours out, they may go 100 miles or more. So I don't know what he might be talking about. There could be something out there.
Is there something out there? I asked him.
Okay. He jumps from the leather to the side of the cages, and he's standing on the side of the cage. And just as he does that, the senior page who's in charge of you, Roland, comes up, and he comes up the stairs as well, and he sees Fallon there, and he sees you're there, and he sees a bird on the side, and he says, "Oh, Stirrup's back, huh?"
Yeah, for some reason he seems very agitated. He keeps trying to point something out in the south.
I think he was trying to say something. I'm not sure what, Alan says. Well, he doesn't seem to want to go back in his cage. Okay, so about that point, you see that he's like pecking or pulling at the side of one of the cage doors. It's the one next to his that's open. And he managed to break off a small piece of wood, which must be from the nameplate of the bird that's next to him, because they basically, there's a little metal piece, and then they make a thin wood piece that has their name burnt into it, and they put it on, and that's how they make the label. And he breaks off a little piece of the wood, and then he jumps from the door.
So the bird isn't in the open cage?
Correct. And he jumps towards you again, and now he's got this little piece of wood. It's about this big, and it's kind of triangular, comes to a point on one end, pretty sharp. But anyway, he jumps towards you, so you put the glove up, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay, make a dex check.
It's not good again.
D20 equal to or less than your dex.
Eight.
Okay, no problem. You put the glove up, he lands on the glove, and then he tosses the wood up, catches it again to get a better grip on it, and then he extends the wood towards you, and you can see it's definitely part of the nameplate for the cage.
Is something wrong with him?
Okay.
That falcon? I feel like if I keep getting this wrong, it's going to get frustrating.
Okay. He drops the wood, and he lowers his head down toward you, and you're pretty sure he's saying yes. Fallon pushes the cage door shut, and you see that the nameplate, which is now broken on the corner, says Bree. B-R-E. "Where's this bird?" Fallon says. "Maybe that's what he's trying to tell us."
Yeah, I'm pretty sure from what he's trying to tell me is that there's something happening with Bree somewhere towards the south. That's what I've gotten from it. He keeps pointing and looking towards the south, and now he's taken a piece off of his cage.
You do have quite the affinity with these birds. And you've said before that you thought you could kind of understand what they're thinking. Try to release him to the south and see what happens.
Okay, so
you've done it a few times before. Basically, you just raise the gauntlet with kind of a tossing motion, and then they flutter their wings, and they realize they're losing their balance, so they take flight. Okay, when you do that, he does. He flies, but he stops on the edge of the roof, and he looks back, and he goes like this with his head.
Do you want me to follow you? Do we need to come there?
Well, he says, I mean, you can't fly, so...
I know, but if there's something happening there...
The worst is he's going to bring you home.
Fallon says,
at least we know it's something in the south.
Maybe I could go see if I could track the bird once it's released. I'd have to get permission, but I've got a pretty fast horse, and she's due for a ride out. I think Bree is probably overdue. Could be sick, something.
It's
not unheard of for one bird to look out for another, especially coming out of the roost. You go see what, if you're allowed to go. Do you have a horse?
No, but I own a mule.
That would do.
And my friend Dan also owns a horse. He's off right now, though.
Why don't you go down, ready the mule, and see what the bird does.
Okay. Just leave him here?
Give me the glove.
Hand it off to him.
Okay. She's going to follow you. She has to get the mule. I don't know if he understands. You think?
I don't know. I'll be back, Stirrup.
Okay, so you go down to the stables and you're readying the mule. Okay. It takes you time to get there, time to get the mule out, time to get your saddle and everything, because it's not stored together.
Pigeon.
Yep. And you take him an apple. So if you have an apple on your character sheet, you can mark it off.
I have two.
Okay, you can mark it off and give him one of your apples. And you realize you're going to have to buy more apples. You're running out of apples. Okay. When you're down there and you walk him out, you're going to saddle him outside. You just wrap his reins around the post, and then you go get the saddle, and the blanket. You're ready to saddle him. And as you do so, Stirrup comes down and lands on the post next to where Pigeon is. Nose is basically where his reins and his nose are. Okay.
Are you ready, Stirrup?
Yep. So he doesn't answer. Okay. So Fallon has the same knight master as Ralph. And when Fallon comes and asks if he can get permission, apparently he was told no. However, Ralph is sent in his stead. So you're to go find Selena near the stables and go with her to, if it may be nothing, but if it pans out, find out where this falcon is potentially leading her. Your job is to protect her. You're chosen in two reasons. One, because you are technically a first level cavalier and can do the job, as well as the fact that you have history with Selena before. It's pretty well known that Ralph, Selena, a couple of the other squires, not including Fallon, a couple of the other characters. I think they were all pages actually at that time, except for Ralph, who was a squire. They were all in the warehouse fire and rescued some kids previously. So it's pretty well known. And so he says, just let her play it out. Probably will be nothing, but keep her safe.
Okay.
If you have to stay in the countryside overnight, try to use an inn or something. Not out. They say it's salt, so not the greatest patrols out that way. Okay.
Hopefully it's nothing.
All right. So Ralph comes up while you're just got your stables, or you got just got your saddle on, and you flip the stirrup up, and you reach under the belt and pull it down tight, make sure it's good and buckled, throw it down, and you look at it when you're like basically ready to go. Pigeon and the falcon seem to have a little bit of interaction. Like Pigeon edges to the right and kind of pushes the falcon aside, like he's trying to get him further away. And the falcon, he goes back to standing where he was, and now the falcon's like a foot away. And then as you throw the actual saddle on and you're checking his hooves and stuff like that, he moves over again and he bumps this falcon further over. So falcon's all the way over now on the end rail, the post where the rail connects, and then he goes back to standing where he was. So basically, he moved him about as far away as he could go without being off the rail.
He's not going to hurt you.
And you realize that Stirrup practiced great restraint to not bite him, because if he nipped him on the nose, it would hurt really bad. Okay? And Ralph walks up. You remember Ralph from before.
Hey, Ralph.
Hi, Selena.
He's pulling the reins of his horse coming out the stable.
I've been sent instead of Fallon to escort you south.
That's even better. Fallon's nice enough, but I don't really like him or anything. So going with somebody that you know you can trust is always better. Okay? Moments later, the two of you are riding out the south gate of the royal retreat. The sun is just about to set on your right-hand side. You can see the southern sea to your left as you're headed downhill. You can't hear the waves crashing because it's some distance away, but you can see them. You can see the ripples in the water and the frothing white, probably about 2 miles away. And as night is rapidly approaching, already in the dark recesses of the copses of trees and so on, the insects have begun to scree and chirp and whatnot. Okay, I'm going back to the right.
Get cicada. Anyone how to get cicada?
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
I should do a wolf howl.
Okay. So at first, Stirrup takes off to the south, and you kind of lose sight of the bird almost immediately. So not knowing what to do for sure, you just continue to follow the road to the south. After about half an hour riding, the edge of the sun is at the horizon to the west, and the road turns away from the shore. So now there are rocky hills and trees to your left, and you can't see the sea anymore. You realize that a couple hundred miles down this road, you run into New Etra. So you're actually be out of Low Moon. And New Etra is known to be less civilized. There's a lot more humanoid races, half-elves, a lot of half-elves, halflings, and gnomes. But especially even orcs and hobgoblins and like that. And then in the southeast corner of what would be New Etra is a free state called Scrape. And anything within about 100 miles of there is subject to death. It's very awkward. A couple of times, the Lomelian army, before New Etra was established, they mobilized to wipe it out. It's like a pirate's den with a bunch of humanoids and stuff like that. And it's hard to approach from the sea unless you know what you're doing. And a couple of times they tried to wipe it out, but failed. Or they wiped it out temporarily, and then it reformed because all the humanoids went out, fled into the wilderness, and then came back. And so you know it's down there, but that should be several hundred miles away, which means it would take you, like, days to get there. If you rode 15, 16 hours a day, It would probably take like 4 days, three, 4 days. Okay? And you're not going to do that. So if the bird's going that far, you don't know much about birds, like how far it might be going. It seems to go really fast, and then it seems to be kind of like coming back. So after that half an hour, it does fly back into view, and it actually flies a long, lazy arc around behind you until it's probably half mile behind you, and then it flies past you overhead again along the road to the south, southeast.
Yeah, I asked him, though, he does that almost there.
Okay. He does not respond. So, all right. And so the same experience takes place several times, even to the point that now it is dark. So the sun has set.
Do we know of any civilization or...
Yeah, so you passed a village already, and you know you'll see several more along this road. It's a civilized area. Farms are on both sides of the roads.
What are you going to do with that him, though? Maybe the next time he comes around, we'll have to go into a village?
Probably. We should definitely find an inn and not be out in the open.
Yeah, the only way you could get him to come down and land and come to you to like stay in an inn or something would be if you have a glove, because he's trained to come down for the glove. If you put your arm up and he comes down, there's a half-decent chance he'll tear up your arm. So, he might be able to do it with his armor. He does have a metal gauntlets for his hands. His plate mail, his chain sleeves, and then metal gauntlets. So he might be able to put up his gauntlet, and maybe he, stirrup of the mail, would come down to try it. In any case, there's nowhere to stop right now anyway, so you continue down the road.
Once we find a place to stop, we're going to have to...
Okay. So you are approaching another village. You don't know the name of it, and there's no sign on the road that says, like, now entering such and such or anything like that. So the village is about 10 buildings. There is a house that looks kind of like a boarding house. There's no tavern or inn. But there's a house in the middle of town. It's the largest building. It's a story and a half. Has a peaked roof with ceramic tiles for roofing, and then it has a porch with rails on the front, and there are a few horses already tied up there. It does not have a corral or a stables affiliated with it, so probably whoever's staying there will probably leave their horses tied up out front overnight, which isn't the greatest arrangement for horses, but it's better than nothing. And you see that the horses that are out front do not have their saddles on, so probably they get their saddles inside, but you do not currently see the bird. As you're passing the house, you see there is a window in the front, and it's Southernmost Cove technology, so it actually has glass in it, as the beams across with actual glass window. You see paisley-colored curtains on the inside, little flowers, pink curtains with blue flowers. And then behind that, you can see people sitting at a table eating. The glass is not clear glass. The technology is not that good. But you can see the kind of blurry images of about four or five people sitting there, and there's a candle burning light inside, and they're eating, so you're probably having dinner. Right now it is about 8:30, and once on the road, like when you're out on the road away from town, you realize that the sky is about 15% canopy of clouds, so there's tons of stars out, like you can see tens of thousands of stars. And then you can see the moon, and the moon's at about half. So it's not going to be a dark night at all, unless it gets cloudy. Okay? So as you're passing through the town, the bird is not with you. What do you do? You can keep going on for a while, but here is a possible place to stay, but you don't currently see the bird.
Good. How often does the bird come back? Like every...
20 minutes, half an hour. It's been back like three times.
Follow the trail, catch the bird, and make way back into town.
Yeah, but we're going to want to wander too far.
Yeah.
We could follow the road.
If it gets too dire when we get out, we could retreat towards town, and I can help cover your escape. Town is at least not as... attack because the town is still there.
You have a bit of a flashback to the warehouse fire, and you remember Ralph saying, if things go poorly, I'll cover your escape. So apparently, that's a thing.
He didn't tell me that either.
No. He did say that. Somewhere in the podcast, if we ever podcast it, we'd probably hear him say that. Anyway, all right, so the plan is to ride out the road out south end of town and look for the bird and possibly come back and stay here. Yes? Okay. So leading the south end of town, the countryside is fairly dark, but not like visibility is good. You can see 100 yards or more plainly. You see the ruts in the road. You can see the stones in the grass on the side. You see there's somebody's growing corn, and you can see the corn waving gently in the wind. You hear the animals, owls, other birds. You see an occasional chipmunk, squirrel, something, some kind of rodents along the ground, things like that. The roads here are well maintained. So you're riding on packed gravel, not rutted. Probably wouldn't even hold water. Little ditches on either side of the road for drain off. It's well maintained. You have not seen in this entire ride, however, a knightly column or any military whatsoever. So no attempts to patrol the area per se. You did see a building marked sheriff or constable actually, in the village that you were just in. Okay. So you go out, getting outside town, you're probably like 20 minutes or so. And the mountain is to your left, probably about 4 or 5 miles. Woods are to your right. So you're, from here, you're about 25 miles from Ogrim, which is interesting.
Is Ogrim the place that tried to get...
That's the tree. Oh, I said Ogrim. No, it's Ogrith. Sorry, I said Ogrim.
I was like, Ogrim? What?
Yeah, Ogrim, sorry. The willow tree. And it does occur to you that you have the ability to potentially ask him. Maybe he knows something about where the bird is going. The problem is you would have to use 2 stones to do it, and you only have 3. Right? Or no, each one allows you to do it once. So you could use 1 stone, you'd have 2 left over, that's it. To ask him if he knows something suspicious in the area or what might lie in store, if there's any enemies around
but
or anything.
What about him?
Yeah, you'd probably have to get yourself away from it briefly if you didn't want to give up the fact that you have that ability.
You're not supposed to tell him.
Correct. I mean, you could just stop somewhere and go to the bathroom.
Potty break.
In fact, it occurs to you, you got to go to the bathroom anyway. But you can stop somewhere to go to the bathroom, and while you're doing that, you could try to contact him while you're away from him briefly.
How about we stop here? I need to take a quick break, and we'll see if he returns. It's been close to that time.
Okay, you just can't stay too long.
Why not?
So you're going off into the woods to go to the bathroom, which means there's a chance that you'll be attacked by giant centipedes.
1% chance.
Where's your thing about? Let's
say it's a wolf.
Yes.
Always. You go to the bathroom in the woods, there's always a chance. That's the percentile basically.
It's a running joke now, because every time, like, we had multiple times in a row where someone went to the bathroom and got attacked by centipedes. Jake was one of them.
What did the centipedes do to them?
They wise.
So, yeah. Jake got paralyzed by one, and Dibu drug him away and was not fighting centipedes.
It's like the death of 1,000 cuts, because you get all these tiny bites, you take 1 point of damage each time, but you're paralyzed, so you can't do anything about it. Unless somebody comes and rescues you.
Dude hates giant bugs.
I have to see if you fail your paralyzation roll. Okay. Anyway, you do not get attacked by giant centipedes. You do relieve yourself. Do you reach out to Ogrissa? Okay. He responds. Good evening, Selena.
Hello.
I see you are not so far away.
Not much.
Are you well?
Yes.
Why have you contacted me?
Now, I am traveling this route and another squire. Wait, not squire. Page.
Ralph is the squire, and okay. He's the only one with you. It's just
yeah.
You and Ralph.
I'm traveling with Esquire Ralph, and we are following aboard. What was his name again?
Stirrup.
We are following Stirrup. He's a falcon of the falconry, and something seems to be very wrong. Right now, we are waiting for his return. I was wondering if you had seen him or seen anything with a bird named
Bree.
Bree. I'm so bad with falconry.
Unfortunately, I don't have much interaction with birds unless they are nesting in the branches of my friends. However, you are in the vicinity of some trouble I've been keeping my eye on. Would you be interested in clearing up a bit of a mess for me?
I would suppose so.
You will need to be very careful. I wouldn't ask. It's just that I have no one else there to call on.
Dan is not with me right now, and Ralph has no clue about you at the moment.
That is per our agreement. Can Ralph be trusted?
I would believe so. We've been through much together, and I see how humble he is. I trust him.
You may share the information with him, but do not tell him anything about me. Yes. As I said before, the more men know about me, the more dangerous it becomes. I have tried in the past. It does not end well. Do you know your north and south?
Yes.
Follow the road to the south. About 10 more miles. There you will find a ravine crossing the road. Follow it to the west and south, about a mile. There in the wood, a beast man has taken up residence. He is terrorizing the surrounding animals, and even the villagers, I understand. He is rotten to the core. Deal with him, but be careful. He is powerful. If you cannot deal with him with the help of Ralph, then retreat, and we will find another way.
Okay.
Fare thee well.
Goodbye.
Okay. Roll a d20 if you would. So you've lingered near on the off chance that she would have a problem, like be attacked or whatever, while she's going to the bathroom. What did you roll?
12.
Okay, so you think you hear her talking, you can't make out what she's saying. She's talking to herself, or praying, or something.
Okay.
And then only seconds later, she's coming out of the wood. Yeah. As you come out, Pigeon slowly just kind of like strolls over next to you.
Hey, Ralph.
Hi. Do you always talk to yourself when you're in the forest at night?
I guess you could say that.
Okay.
Pigeon brays slightly. Your horse also snorts back some.
It's not like uneasy or anything, just horse noises?
No, normal horse noises.
Floating.
Well, very loud horse noises. Right?
Floating.
If you're ready to set off, we can search for Falcon again.
Okay.
Continue on south.
You start southward on the road, and you do spot the Falcon a few moments later. But this time, instead of like going back behind you and coming in front of you again, he cuts across the road in front of you, and then he kind of flies a slow zigzag pattern along the road, so back and forth. So he's in front of you, and you can see him, but he's going left,
why?
Right. You could ask him if you can speak with animals, but since you can't,
Maybe there's something here?
What's going on? Is he, like, moving forward?
The closest he ever is to you is about 200 yards, so you doubt, like, normal language. He's going back and forth across the road, but he's a couple hundred yards away.
2 football field.
Right up to him.
Okay, you ride a little faster. Okay, as you do so, you see he flits down to the right at ground level, and you don't see him anymore, so he must have landed on the ground. Okay. So are you sticking with her?
Yeah, make that way. Make all right,
so the two of you ride along.
I do keep my eyes down just to make sure he's not on the road. I don't want to trample him.
You see a low-lying stone bridge. It's wide enough for two wagons to pass side by side. Very sturdy looking.
Is that the one?
And there is a, probably, and there is a stream that has very little water in it, but it does have movement. So it's probably about 3-4 inches deep and about a foot wide at the bottom. Looks like, you know, in rainy season, it holds a lot more water than that. But right now, it just has that little bit. And there's a large rock about 30 feet off of the path, like in toward the interior, away from the shore. Mind you, the shore is now 10 miles to the east. Easy. But so into the interior of Lomond, or whatever actually lies out there, cannot travel in this area very much. On that stream, about 30 feet from the bridge, sits Stroh. And then as you, you ride up, rein up at right at the edge of the bridge, you see that there is a what looks to be like a deer trail or something, an animal trail of some kind, that is running alongside the stream, and it kind of meanders along the stream. It's not like the real sharp, straight pathway or anything, packed earth. And so you're right at that pathway, and then he jumps from that rock to another rock about 50 feet away, further down the stream. So he's like following the stream. It kind of seems as if he's trying to get you to follow that path.
Maybe we've arrived at our destination, or we're really getting a lot closer.
Gotcha. Is it here?
He jumps to a rock further away.
Not quite.
Maybe his neck is a little sore.
Maybe he's just my mom.
Okay, so you going first, or are you going first? Who's going first down the trail?
Me.
Okay, Lane is going down the trail first. So you have your helm on. I assume have your shield on your left arm ready in case of trouble, but don't have a weapon drawn. Ralph does not see in the dark, but again, it's not very dark.
Yeah.
So into the nooks and crannies and stuff, you're not seeing, but you can see 30, 40 feet clearly.
Okay.
As you continue down the trail, along the water, you see the brook just kind of does this, and there are cattails growing up, reeds that grow up that have those brown things on top that look like hot dogs almost, you know what I'm talking about? And they're coming up out of the around the stream, and so visibility into the stream area is pretty limited, and directly once they get to be pretty quite a bit of them, say maybe 100 feet off the road, you can't really see the other bank, even though the stream is pretty shallow. It's never more than like 4 foot drop, but the other side is covered because the cottontails are coming up out to 6 and 8 feet high. You can't really see the other bank. Okay. And then you lose sight of him for a second, and then he appears actually on the path ahead. So you're probably 100 yards off the road, and then once he looks at you to see if you're coming, and then he takes off again, and you don't see him. And
am
then,
I heading in the way I was instructed?
Yes, it appears that Stirrup is leading you to the same place that Pogrotho was talking about.
Maybe his way is there.
That's my thought. Okay. All right, so fast forward a little bit. You follow the bird along the trail. There are no encounters or anything like that that goes on.
Wow.
And you come to the point where you can see a dark wooded area ahead. The trees are not particularly thick or large, so you don't see anything that is more than about a foot thick. But you can see that the path winds into the trees, as must the stream. And you see Stirrup flies into the path area in between the trees. So you're now looking at your approaching 3 hours outside town, and it's getting pretty late. And while the canopy of cloud has not increased to be more than about like 40%, so it's still not terribly dark, it does feel cool. There has been a definite drop in temperature. Get the sense that there's moisture in the air. And no sooner do you enter the trees than in the far distance toward the shore, so back behind you, back the way you came, you hear a rumble of thunder. The kind of thing that Selena just really doesn't like.
I stop for a second and then continue on.
Okay. You okay?
So she reins up, looks back in the direction of the thunder, and then...
Do I know her history with thunder?
Yes. Everyone knows that she was killed by lightning and brought back to life.
I won't
Okay. Ralph, are you okay? He sounds compassionate.
Yeah.
Okay. Pigeon pees heartily on the trail in the middle of the woods, marking his passage.
Pigeon pees on the woods.
He's peed about 10 times since he's been on this journey.
When we first got him, every time he would pee, he would say, and then pigeon pees on the woods. And then pigeon pees on the woods. And then pigeon pees on the woods.
It's one of his personality traits. Okay. The trail winds through the wood.
And then at a certain point, it kind of like it's winding up a hill in the direction of the stream. So you kind of can see the cottontails down along in the stream. And then because there is a little bit of a clearing where the stream is, and then you can see into the wood on the other side. But as you're winding up that trail and you're kind of at a higher point and looking down into the woods to the right, you can see orange light of a fire flickering.
Once I see that, I will, perhaps I should now take the lead in case something that made that fire is friendly. And I hear suspenseful music playing.
Go ahead. I slow down. Sure. So we can get it.
All right. So are you going to wait to get down off the hill to do it? Or are you going to navigate around? I mean, you can probably do it. There's not a lot of underbrush.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just do a ride check just to make sure that neither one of the animals is particularly startled or anything. So you roll ride, roll percentile dice. You roll a d20.
Down.
35. 6. Okay. So you manage to navigate so that Ralph is in the lead now. You probably loose the latch on your sword just in case you need to draw it quickly. And you do catch a glimpse of stirrup ahead again on the trail. And the trail is going in the general direction of the fire. The fire is definitely down to the right in the woods. So it's probable that at some point you'll have to go off the trail.
I really didn't forget a second about following the bird.
Okay.
When you said that, I'm like, wait, what? Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you follow the trail to a point another 100 yards or so down, and from there, the fire, which is burning in the woods, quite evident. It's a large campfire, basically looks like, is probably about 100 yards away, but it is into the woods. There's no clear trail. You could probably navigate the horses through. It's not a problem to take the horse and mule through. But there is no obvious trail. You'd just be picking across like broken terrain, and there's sticks on the ground and bushes and stuff like that. So what do you do? You can hear the faint sounds of the fire because it's about 100 yards away, and it's 2/3 man-sized.
Which way is the bird leading us?
The last time you saw the bird, it led you to here, but you don't see him at the moment. You could wait for a second and see if he reappears.
Do that.
Okay.
Be careful. I might know a little bit about who it could be.
You're saying that out loud.
Okay. What do you mean?
My math. I've talked about it. I've never been going. I've tried in my mind.
Maybe. If you did, you were always vague about it, because you're not allowed to speak about it over with it directly.
Oh, did you say my master?
Yeah.
Were you talking to yourself in the woods before?
Perhaps not.
And what are we to expect from you and mysterious forest people?
Well, he told me that the man I am sent out to possibly stop is rotten to the core for his horse. He must be very careful if I get him. He's disturbing the forest and the animals in it.
Well, hopefully Steel can take him down if it comes to it, but perhaps we'll just find our ox and not have to deal with it at all.
Can you die?
Suspenseful music.
And then the sail with the raised eyebrows.
But if he's disturbing the forest, maybe he's the reason why stirrup isn't such a... My stirrup is still stirred up right now.
Okay, all right, so what do you do?
Do you think we should go to this fire or follow the path that Syrup was going?
So which way follows where I was told to go? That's where I did.
By generic direction, you are in the area where you were told to go.
Now, I know I'm in the place I'm supposed to be, at least according to his directions.
Well, we could approach the fire. It could be this miscreant causing issues in the woods, or it could just be a hunter or a ranger or a hermit.
With the fire the size of men, mortal?
Both of you roll a d20 if you would.
You're gonna make a sound, don't you?
I rolled 18.
Two. Okay. We're like opposite.
Selena notices that the forest sounds have become greatly suppressed. Part of it could be because you were here, but even it seemed like it happened after you were here. So it got quiet. There's still some, but they're more distant. So like all the animals in this area, the bugs chirping, everything all sort of stopped.
But I was just like completely quiet.
Okay. Both of you can roll another d20.
I draw the sword somewhat quietly.
Slowly draws his sword out of its sheath.
14.
You're
gonna learn really, really quickly that I roll the whatever number I don't want.
Okay, I'm gonna roll the number I don't want. Yay, I got the number I wanted.
Happens way more than you think with me.
There you go. That is unsheathed slow.
Which is why I play characters that are very good at escaping. I generally am gonna need to escape most combats.
Okay, so no, what did you roll?
5.
Okay, so sitting on the back of Pigeon, behind Ralph, at the juncture where, like, you're perfectly perpendicular, you have to go off the path directly here if you're going to go the most shortest distance to the fire, you spot a large shadow, larger than man-sized, moving in the woods, about halfway between you and the fire, but to the right slightly. And you only saw him for a second, but it looked like he was moving, generally speaking, in this direction, but maybe slightly to the right. So basically, if you think, like, here's you, here's the fire, you saw him about right here, and he might have been moving this way. It was a single, large silhouette, bigger than a man.
What was that? Do I think it's about the size of, like, an ogre?
Yes.
Babe, I saw a shadow, like, off in that direction, but coming towards us, bigger than a man, like, ogre size.
It was on our right?
Towards the right, coming
so
towards
looking
us.
Toward the fire, it was to the right. Which would be, if you're continuing on this trail, it would be very much to the right.
Stay on my left.
Okay. Am I on his left or right?
Not currently, you're kind of behind him. If he goes off the road, you're going in, yeah. Are you going in the general direction of the fire?
Yeah, okay. Mostly following her.
If he goes off
her,
the road, you'd have to rotate around to get to his left.
I'm going with her,
sure,
but I want
fire?
Her between me and the whatever it is that
what
she pointed out.
What if that's a Ogo's fire?
It very well could be.
Then that's what you came here to stop.
But if we're going to fight it...
An Ogo's fire?
Whatever, no,
whatever it is.
Kill it.
With a sword. Through his face.
Electroshield? Stone drift? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I would rather fight it where we have more light. It's something that moves around at night. It could see in the dark, and then it has the advantage.
You would expect that if there's an ogre, it can see in the dark. That is correct.
I can see in the dark.
I cannot. And chances are, if it fights in
it is very dark here, because there's a 40% cloud canopy and a 60% tree canopy equal to about a 50% total canopy.
And if this thing has...
About a 70% total canopy.
I have a candle.
I think
I'm going to light it.
If this thing has Bree, chances are Bree, if Bree is alive, is going to be in its camp.
Okay, you can both roll for surprise.
Cool.
Surprised only on a 1.
4.
D4. Wait, D6?
Yeah, you want a D6? Unless you have alertness, but I don't think you do.
I rolled it really big this time. I got 3. Yay, I'm not surprised.
Neither am I.
Okay. Neither of you are surprised.
I don't have to wait a minute to draw.
As a big, somewhat hairy man, which would also be called an ogre.
Caveman?
No. He does look like an overgrown Neanderthal, but that's not really a thing.
You're dangerous on horseback, right?
Yes.
Far more dangerous.
You are considered 6th level with your weapon of choice on horseback.
Yeah.
So your Thaco is 5 better.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, you're not high enough for your attack routine to actually be better.
Hey, so it's nice to have that poison.
Okay. So neither of you are surprised. However, he is not surprised either, and you may roll an initiative. Ta-da!
Cute battle.
I don't know what that means.
Roll D6.
Okay. It's maybe been a while, but you should know what roll initiative.
I have 17.
I did know what it means, now that I was told. Yeah. And I hadn't known before. It's just been a really long time. Oh, 3.
I'll tell her. I'm in 6, I think. 4+2. You have high dex? Like 16 or better?
Yes.
I have 16.
So you add 1 to your roll.
Oh.
Because your dex is
4.
16 is
that,
1, and then
but
it goes up 1.
It's been so stinking long.
Yeah, 16 is +1, and then it goes up 1.
But I know all this stuff. It's just been so long.
Yeah.
Same game, no matter how long it takes before you play it again.
Dimud is 16, and Ryan is 18. Now it's 18. It was 17, but now he's a goblin.
Okay. So, you're on horseback. You're technically in the front. She's back and slightly to your left. You're just off the trail, so you are in the woods. The ogre is coming ahead to your right, which means your shield does not come into play very easily.
Okay.
But your sword is already in hand. What did you have initiative? 8?
6.
6? Okay. What did you have?
4.
Okay, so the ogre actually will go first.
Good.
He steps up to attack Ralph.
Hit points.
Okay, and he will hit.
Oh no!
Woo!
There's my cup.
Not Ralph.
And he will hit for 9 points.
Ouch.
Make a ride roll.
Percentage.
See if you're knocked. Yes. Knocked off of this horsey.
60 something.
Okay, so you are not knocked 65. Off of the horse. Currently, you are not loose in the saddle.
I have 15 hit points. I have more than you.
He was 12, right?
He's first level, you're second.
Yeah. He gets a level, he'll be way higher than me. He'll be a 20.
He gets a D12 every every time he gets a new level. So as soon as he goes plus to D12, he'll get D12 plus 3 hit points as soon as he makes his level, which he'll probably do if you guys succeed in killing the ogre.
If I don't die.
Yeah, if you don't die, that's right.
That is sad.
She usually has a little bit of healing. Do you have healing?
So I have healing as one of my skills.
Oh, yeah, there's always that.
I can slash at him right back.
Last night in the first ever episode of Low Moon, whatever it's actually called, because there's like three vagabonds is the front runner for its name, but we haven't found out for sure what it's going to be called. Anyway, in the first ever episode, the very first person to go down was the only party member with the healing non-web proficiency and two cure lights in memory.
Yeah, I heard about it. Like the whole party almost got wiped out. Yeah.
I wasn't quite that bad, but it was pretty bad. Okay. Anyway, so it is now your initiative. You can go.
Someone tries to hit you. You try and hit him right back. Also. I'm trying not to throw that on the table. I don't see my ball. Oh, no, that's a nat 1. Okay.
Nice. Okay, that'll miss and force a ride check.
Oh, no. Let's roll that one first. 60-something.
You're fine. Okay, what is Selena doing? The ogre attacked Ralph. A hearty smack with a club.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
There's no
structural
stone. I have entangled.
Yes,
that looks...
actually, a 1/8 structural.
Oh, no.
Is this stone? I don't think so. No.
These will be an eighth.
Not here.
Can we one see eighth. Right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's not great, but you can see enough to fight.
So I'm seeing, like, a little bit of improvisation.
You can see him for sure. You'd be able to see him.
So you're full-blooded elf, so you can use normal vision or infravision or both, essentially. So
you definitely
you're
can
seeing
see
perfectly fine. He does appear to be the only assailant. There's only one
both
ogre.
Both of my
thank goodness.
Second level spells are useless. I have stone gif and stuff with on second level. And then I have electric shield and entangle.
Entangle could be very
perfect.
I might.
Yes.
But I have qualms about the
I'll
grace.
Do that. I'll do that.
I mean...
my horse doesn't.
Probably normally, but not necessarily an ogre.
I'll do that. Ogre. I crossed it out.
They're
terrible.
Eat people. So people that eat people don't get much mercy.
Cannibal.
So they're cannibals.
Okay. So are you going to attempt to entangle him?
Yeah.
Okay. Oops. What was your initiative?
Actually,
you could have done it this way. But remember, you can use your spells instantaneously in Mistle Fire. You might
use your spells before anyone can melee attack.
Right. Anyway, so So the brush and even the trees around him bend down and they begin to like inhibit his movement. They're pushing back on him, trying to tie up his legs like that. But he is not fully entangled, so he can move and is pressing forward to get up onto the trail and out of the bushes.
Can I position myself
on
one of these facing
the shield?
Do I have
something from the stones? I owned something when I got my third stone.
It was a bonus to a stat, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have a temporary bonus to a stat.
And here's the spell noise. That was pretty cool. Okay. Anyway, so you also could still like try to smack him with your staff if you wanted. You will need a ride check to maneuver your mule into position.
I'm sure. I don't think he'll give me much trouble. He kind of pressed me.
Mine a war horse or a riding horse?
Light war horse. And your mule is not really like combat ready. He's not used to being in fights, so you still have to actively control him.
But if I just... what happens if I get off?
Then you don't have to worry about that anymore, but you won't be as tall.
True.
It doesn't really help you to fight from horseback, unless you're trying to get away. Anyway, what are you doing?
Horseback, kid.
Okay. So, all right, on, staying on horseback?
Or mule back?
Yeah.
Yeah, mule back. Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095. Well,
you whacking him?
She's whacking him. She's debating between on horseback or off. Are you getting on off the horse or are you staying on the horse?
Okay.
On the mule. Okay. So you jump down, so you just need a straight dex check. If you make it, you'll be in position to strike now.
Is he entangled right now?
The plants are trying to hold him back, but he's pressing his way up onto the path.
Am I supposed to be doing...
D20.
Okay, sorry. 12.
Okay, so no problem. So you jump down, and you try to smack him with your staff. You may roll to hit.
Another D20.
Unfortunately, he is not completely tangled. Otherwise, you could be trying to kill him right now.
Sorry, my dice are getting pretty
cute. Pull Janie, jab him in the throat.
Yeah, technically, you're supposed to be using D20 for this, because that thing was only approved for proficiencies, not for attacks. Roll a D20.
Roll dice.
How is it not approved for attacks?
Because he said that.
Because that was the ruling when you received the ruling.
Oh, 15.
Nice. That's
13.
Gonna hit.
13.
D6 damage. I don't think she gets any bonus.
What's your strength?
Nice. 6 points. Strength is 12.
Yeah.
So no, nothing from that.
Then start till 16.
And the staff is nothing special.
Or 15.
Okay. So you do 6 points of damage after mostly tangling him up. So he is trying to get up onto the path and get away from the worst of the plants so he can keep moving. And we'll go to a new round.
Does my horse kick him at all?
No, not yet. Initiative. Initiative.
Same thing as last time. Good old six.
Okay. So he is coming up the hill next to you guys. The plants and stuff around him are trying to push him back. You're standing in kind of in the plants, Ariana. You're standing kind of in the plants, and the plants are working around you to try to restrain him, but they're not messing with you, okay? And he is back and slightly to your left, and he's just rotated his horse.
Am I in the way of the plants? Like they have
not really. I mean, not enough to slow them down from getting him, but he's breaking through them is the problem. He's like breaking the branches back and stuff. So snap, 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 snap as he's pushing.
Well, at least it's distracting.
Yeah, he's moving up onto the trail to get out of the effect of the spell. Once he does that, he'll be able to start attacking again. Okay, so this round, each of you can attack him once while he's moving up there, but he will not return fire.
I'm in six.
Go ahead.
Eat my blade. Did
you have another
filthy
spell
ogre.
You can do, though? Because you can attack and do a spell if you want.
I have electric shields. I think that's the only one that would even help.
Yeah. So it probably won't help unless you wait until he can attack
what
again.
What kind of choice is two or one?
One.
I also have predict weather.
So he's 15, back on 15
on the horse.
I have predict weather, electric
shield,
and
minor.
One for strength, one for weapon choices.
That puts me down to 12. 13.
Minor.
So I hit 9.
I do have a minor heal right now. I've been given minor heal.
Yes, well, you may need that. All right. Anyway, so bottom line is you can hit him with the staff again, and then once he's free of the entanglement, you're ready to use the electric shield. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything else you wanted to do other than the electric shield now? What other spells do you have?
So I have Entangle, use that. Predict Weather, Electric Shield, Dino Heal, Smell Poison, Stone Drift.
Okay. Alright, so nothing else right this second until he's ready. Because Electric Shield is basically defensive. Okay? Roll to hit.
Roll better than me.
Roll better than Ralph. Ralph is not doing a very...
Up D20 six. First.
You have to roll the D20 to hit. I'll let you keep the 6 if you hit. That's a miss.
4.
All right.
That missed for me, too.
So he does move up onto the trail, which means he is out of the effect of the entangle now. So the free attacks are over. The only thing... He's only been hit by the one smack of the staff so far. Okay. Go to a new round. Initiative.
Little did Dan account for, and this counterbalance is my dice rolling.
I wish Dan was here. He'd be quite enjoying this. Also, do the ogres kill my dogs?
7.
No, your mom and dad are not dead.
They can't kill my dad.
I think they killed Rosie's parents.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Anyway, roll. So in missile fire.
Roll D6.
Yeah, roll your initiative, first of all. D6. But in missile fire, he's not attacking you.
4.
So 4 plus your dex.
4, 5.
Okay. So you're ready with electric shield when he comes to attack you, but you can't use a missile fire because he's not attacking a missile fire. Attacking him immediately, all right? So initiative 7.
That's me.
Okay. All right. The swordsman wades up to try to do something.
Throw a little higher than 4, I'll probably hit him. Oh, that 17 will definitely hit.
Yep, that's going to hit.
It's like negative
a lot.
And you
do D12 because he is large.
That's a big boy. That's this one. Okay, that is 8 plus 1 from strength.
1 for strength, yep.
Which is 9 plus weapon of choice.
No, weapon of choice doesn't do damage.
We're going to hit.
Okay, so you did 9. Alright, so he slashes him a nasty gash.
Ah, I hit him. Take that, fat hairy man.
You say that?
I say, take that, fat hairy man.
Really, Ralph?
The idea is for him to hit me. He didn't say that, but... He thinks it. Definitely thinks it.
Where's Sword at? Let me do this one. Here.
What did he say that?
Said, take that, mean, hairy, fat man.
Okay.
What did he think?
That was
I'd
in
rather
seven.
Him hit me.
6, 5. Okay. The ogre also was in 5. What? So you can go and roll the hit with your staff.
You might clunk him to
it's
death.
It's an even odd on which of you he's going to attack. Actually, it's going to 1-4 attack Ralph, 5-6 Selena.
You can use this. Hold on. One of us could be smileys, one of us could be hot.
No,
I made it just for that.
So he's attacking Ralph and you're attacking him. You can still use your electric shield even though he's attacking Ralph. You just would interpose it between him and Ralph instead of you and him. First, roll your d20 to hit with the staff.
Roll high.
That's cocked. Roll again.
It's hard to roll on
that. We're on the rooftop here. 14.
Yay.
That's going to hit. Roll a d6. Another high number would be appropriate.
So
not terribly high. Okay, so 6 and 2 is 8, and
plus
you did 9.
9,
so
17.
17. Okay, it's getting up there. All right, and then
oh, there's a sack of hit points.
He's attacking Ralph. Cocked.
Does Vital Heal work if he's
missed.
Knocked out?
Yes, but it does half as much.
It's
okay.
Going to be a while before I'm knocked out.
All right, and then you do that electric shield to protect Ralph, I presume?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically what happens is she's fighting him, and then the ogre goes to swing the club at you, and she goes like this, and there's a web of thin electrical lines, like the comic picture of electricity basically goes in the air in front of you, and his club passes through it, and it bangs off your shield, and you don't forget, Cavaliers get a shield parry.
Oh.
Anyway, I almost forgot. It bangs off your shield, but the electricity then wraps along the ogre's arm, and it obviously burns it. And you're what, level 2?
Yeah.
Okay, it takes 2 points of damage from that. Now we're at 19.
Be a handy spell for Dean. Or the
actually, I'm level 3.
Are you 3?
I'm pretty sure.
She has second level spells?
No, nope, 2. It says 2. Great. There.
Well, you get second level spells at level 2, isn't it?
Both ring?
Yes.
Well, this is real quick.
Yes, they do.
I forget how fast
individual
they
spells are pretty weak comparatively,
yeah.
But they come fast. Okay. So he missed you, and you hit him.
That's the round.
That ends the round. Yeah. Initiative?
Oh, this dice. I rolled 4.
Very fast.
2.
Continues to be fast. Okay.
Does shield parry replace my
attack? Do you want to do minor heal on him during missile fire? Okay. So
I got 3. She's counting my dice.
Right. But no one else is doing missile fire, so you would go first. So she reaches out and like touches your leg. Roll a d6.
Okay. Roll high.
2.
2.
You get, minimum
you
3.
Get 2. You get 2 hit points back. No. Minimum's 1. Take it. Take all
enough.
That you can get.
Might be enough.
Never know. His maximum damage is 15, so.
That's the difference for me not dying potentially in the next
yes,
hit.
So the next hit, if he rolls maximum damage, you will not, you won't die. It'll be just unconscious. Well, just in Cavalier negatives.
Cavalier mode.
Yeah. Okay. And he goes first. So he is attacking. Shield parry, of course.
Yeah.
Minus 2.
We need a shot that says Cavalier
mode. With that, he will miss.
Nice.
Because of the shield parry. You successfully shield parry.
Ah, uh-huh. I got him back.
Okay, and then you both may roll to hit. Such a large, loud dice when you do that.
Yeah, sorry. I missed. I rolled a 3. It's me and rolling.
And you missed with a 10? You missed as well. Okay.
Does this surprise you with my rolling?
Not really. Okay.
I'm
new round.
I'm bad at rolling.
Initiative. Selena's running out of spells.
Yeah, I rolled an 8. We're only good at initiative every other round.
For the first time, he's not rolling fast. So roll initiative. Come on.
So the time it doesn't
we're running
matter.
Out of time. You want to finish the ogre off, don't you?
6.
Nice. Which makes it a 7, right?
Yeah.
Yay.
I rolled an 8 initiative.
Okay. So you go first.
No, not your 1.
Okay. The horse also beat him on initiative and hits him once.
Good horse.
For 2 points. 21. The bite will come after. Rolled hit.
I missed. It's a second 1 out of 5 dice rolls.
D20. What do you got? 15? 12?
That's a 15. That's what you rolled.
That's it. Okay. D6 damage.
Roll that one. Roll 6. Or half that.
Okay, so 21, 24. Okay.
Let's get a unicorn in it.
And the ogre finally attempts to strike.
I'm back here for one.
Okay, so I'm going to do a D8, and it's going to be 6-8 Ralph, 3-5 Selena, 1-2 the horse. It is Ralph. It is a hit, even with the shield parry.
Ah.
I think it's about to get dim here.
Yeah.
10 points.
Okay, so I'm at -5.
Okay, so you need to make a ride check first of all.
That's this one. No, that's the 12. It's this one. Something in the tens.
Okay, so you're fine. All right. So basically, you're at -5, which means you cannot keep fighting. If you choose to keep fighting, you'll make con checks at -5. He does have a 16 con.
Okay.
So that means you have 11 or less. And if he rolls over that, he would die instantly.
Okay.
So there's that. And you already attacked this round. And so you already attacked. So we're initiative, first of all.
I'll tell her to get on the mule.
Bye.
He looks like he's barely staying conscious.
8.
7.
Yes,
they did say we can't do it, that we can
retreat.
Right. So heroically, he doesn't know that though. So heroically slash at him. Do I roll a con first?
Con first, yeah.
No, that's an 18.
First time for an 18. Okay, so he lashes out at the ogre as he goes, and he clutches his chest.
Did he get that swing in?
Yep, rolled a hit.
It might be his dying swing. Yeah.
Why does he 10,
that'll
his
hit.
Because his heart is bursting.
The hit, AC 2.
Okay, damage.
That's an 8. Plus 1 is 9.
Yep, and that's enough. Okay, so Ralph heroically leans forward and he slashes the ogre and it catches him on the side of his face and he rips his ear off and jumps into his shoulder. The ogre sags over, probably dead. He's bleeding really badly. And then Ralph is clutching his chest and he falls against the horse. And then he falls off the horse onto his shoulder on the ground with a sickly thud.
I'm a great Norse hero.
Okay. Also, is Stoa up here?
You just scan around and look for him?
I look, yeah.
Yes, you see him perched on a nearby branch. Anyway, you check him. He's alive, but he's obviously in very bad shape. There's blood on his lips, and he's breathing really heavily, and it looks like he's going to die.
I do have...
Get a chance to say something heroic.
Down with you, fat, hairy man.
Okay. All right, he goes, down with you, fat, hairy man. And he goes, he passes out.
Selena just giggles, and then she...
Okay, as you're sitting there, this is the scene. You're kneeling on the ground in the mud and the blood. Pigeon is in the background looking down at you in concern. The warhorse has moved off a little bit. The dead ogre, kind of chopped up and battered up, whatever, lays on the trail nearby. You're on your knees and you have Ralph's head kind of in your hands and his eyes loll back and croaks over and he's clearly dead and it starts to rain.
Okay.
Heavy drops of rain fall on your head and on Ralph's face.
What do I do?
Good question.
Swing him on the back of Pigeon?
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor told from a certain point of view.
Yeah, or his warhorse. You could depend on whether you want to ride Pigeon or the warhorse.
Right, put him on the back of his warhorse and just carry his warhorse.
Yeah, you'll have to tie him on or something, probably. Yeah. He'll probably mostly stay. If you're just walking, he'll probably mostly stay on there.
But I do have healing in my...
Roll of healing. You can verify for sure that he's dead or dying.
Yes.
Yep. If you roll a natural 1.
Oh.
Or if you roll a critical 20. Success, which is a 2 or less, I'll let you potentially save his life.
This?
Yep. Mm-hmm. 2 or less. Otherwise, you're just assessing him.
4.
4.
Nope. He's done. He croaked. By your assessment, you think, he went beyond human limits and, he had a heart attack. Because he took too much damage, and then he kept fighting. That's what happens.
He's trying to save you.
I get that.
He heroically defeats the ogre. That's really something. You do see that the ogre has a heavy bag tucked into his belt, and you realize a fire is still burning down in the woods. And you see that Stirrup is on a branch on a tree between you and the fire.
Why is it stopping? Does the rain help the fire?
Dramatic effect.
No, it doesn't look like it'll hurt the fire much, unless it rains harder than this. Anyway, are you going down to the camp?
Yeah, maybe we can get some.
So you're getting him picked up first?
Yeah.
Okay, so you put him on the back of his horse, you get up on Pigeon, you hold the reins of the war horse. You are fairly strong, plenty strong enough. It's inconvenient, but you can do it. You put his horse back, or you put his sword back in his scabbard?
Yeah.
Okay, you take the bag off the ogre?
Yeah.
Okay, put it in your saddlebag, probably.
How big is it?
The bag?
Tiny,
yeah, like a pouch for him. All right, anyway, then you walk slowly down to the camp. You see there's no other people in the camp. You're feeling a little creeped out because you're alone in the dark in the woods far from home, and now in the rain and the thunder is occasionally sounding off in the distance.
And that's not gonna be.
Yeah, but you do see that there is a small cave there just behind the where the fire is, and Stirrup flies in and lands on the rock just behind the cave, and you see there's some trappings like furs, a small chest, another club. You see ogre droppings. Oh, yeah, it looks like this was his encampment.
It stinks.
Also, the noise of the animals come back. even though it's raining.
Wow, thanks, animals.
Actually, you could be grateful because they warned you in a sense that the attack was coming. And it does start to rain fairly hard, and the fire burns fitfully, but it is still burning. Roll a d20.
Can I use this now?
Yes.
Okay.
The only combat rules that you're currently restricted from.
Why?
Because that was the ruling. Just roll the dice.
It takes a while.
You're making this session take longer. Okay. So you notice behind the large rock outcropping, there's a couple of pine trees. And up in the pine trees, some of the branches have been intentionally broken back or broken off. And some of them have been dragged down into the camp to use for firewood or whatever, or to burn in the fire. Because pine, even when it's damp, the green needles of a pine tree burn pretty well. And so it catches your attention. And you also notice that Pigeon is sitting over there. Stirrup is sitting over there in that direction. Check it out.
Yeah, okay. Get on Pigeon and then bring the wild horses out.
Okay, so Pigeon navigates the upslope fairly well to go around the little rock precipice there that has the little cave in it. And as you go up, you see a fowler's net.
What?
A fowler's net is, a fowler is a bird hunter. A fowler's net is a net that is stretched between trees, and it has narrow spaces in it, and it's kind of hard for them to see, and usually there's like little trinkets and stuff like that around that to attract birds. And you see that Bree the falcon and two or three other birds are caught in the fowler's net.
I want to let him out.
And for a second, Stirrup flies over there, but then he like flits away from the net to a nearby branch.
Okay? Not
so
caught.
The easiest way to get them down is to cut the net down, and then you'll have to untangle them out of the net and let them
I
free.
I have the holographic rainbow knife ending.
Okay, so you pull out your knife, climb down off Pigeon, start cutting the net down. Pretty quickly you do manage to. One of the birds escapes while you're cutting the net down and flies off into the woods. And then there is another bird there that's actually a mourning dove. So it's a grayish, it's a dove, but it's a grayish dove with a kind of a olive green underbelly, but it's wounded. Its one wing is broken. It can't fly.
Can I help it?
You could if you had a minor heal, which you don't, but tomorrow you could.
Can I take him?
Yeah, probably have to put him in a bag or something so he doesn't hurt himself. Okay. And then you also manage to free Bree, and Bree is fine. She's not hurt. And right away, Bree and Stirrup fly off into the woods together.
Do they go off towards the ramp?
Generally speaking, you think so. They head kind of in that direction. It's hard to say. Do you have direction sense?
Yes.
You can roll it one.
D, put a.
Is that?
12.
Yes. So you think they went, generally speaking, toward the retreat.
Bye. See you all there. Have okay. a nice trip.
So you realize now you're in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, in a fairly unpatrolled area with the dead body of your friend, and it's raining.
Wow.
Okay. So it would be theoretically possible to camp in the cave and then head back in the morning. It's probably midnight or close to it.
I don't want to go to the town.
Okay, and try to head back to the town. All right, check for random encounters real quick.
So I'm going to get attacked by giants.
No random encounters.
I'm going to get attacked by giants.
So there is some rope in the camp as well, so you can use the rope to better tie on Ralph's body. And also there is a small chest that's in the camp, and you can tie that on the back of the horse as well. Not much else of interest unless you want to ogre club or some bones of animals that he ate.
Or ogre droppings.
Random burrs. There are a few random burrs there. They're not currently dried, so they would have to be dried to be worth any money. It's not going to happen in the rain. They'll usually have to be stretched out in the sun and scraped dry. So
okay.
You're going to just leave them. Yeah. Okay. All right. And so Selena on the back of Pigeon, kind of miserable in the rain, lightning flashing in the distance, hoping it's not coming any closer. But by your calculation, the nearest one so far has been about 4 miles. Edges out of the wood on the trail, back toward the road, and hopefully toward the boarding house that you saw. But it's a ways, so probably 5 miles. Probably take an hour and a half. By the time you get there, it'll be 2 o'clock in the morning. Checking for no random encounters on the road. All right. So we'll assume you make it to the boarding house. You can mark off 2 silver pieces, assuming you're willing to pay to stay in a warm room and a warm bed.
Of course I'm
the horses, the horse and the mule will just have to stay outside in the rain because they don't have any better way to store them.
But I take my cloak off and I lay it over top of his body.
Okay.
So it's not just sitting out in the open.
Well, yeah, they'll help you take it, the body indoors if you want to do that. It doesn't have to be left out. There is an undertaker in town. You could have him buried here if you wanted to, but you'd probably be better off to take him back and let, since technically he is property of the crown. Thank you. Since technically he's property of the crown, it'd be better off for you to take him back and see what they want to do with him.
I'm going to take
him. Okay. So right now they'll let you store him inside. But in the morning when you get ready to leave, they have him his body wrapped in a tarp, and they'll help you load it back on the horse.
Okay.
Up in the morning, back to the retreat. No random encounters.
I'm rich.
Yeah.
I'm a rich.
somewhere in there, you surely could have checked what's in the bags. But we'll deal with all that next time because we are out of time.
And my dice claim another victim.
You can explain to Caleb how you got his best friend killed.
Too.
No, Dan's your best friend.
They both will.
Oh, okay.
She's a girl. They have multiple best friends.
I'm glad you played him and he got killed because I can like lay it to your credit instead of my own.
You know how many times I have made a roll that was a roll where your character dies and I fail it? I've only actually made one of those, like one or two of those rolls.
Game Master says failed save is death, and you're like, oh, I can do that.
No, I never think that. I think, oh, here's why I die every time now.
That's probably.
Well, after it happened a third time.
We all saved our destinies, but at least we got it first.
Maybe you're making it come true by your positive mental attitude.
I don't know, because, well, the first two times I rolled for Demon, they're like, oh, I can't pass 40, I think I'll be fine. And then the next one, where it's like 1%, I'm like, okay, oh.
Get your stuff together and go find your ride.
Like, okay. After the third failed death save, that's when I was like.
This episode will be called Ralph Meets His End. Poor Ralph. Next session in 2 weeks.
So
Ralph's funeral.
Yeah, we've died three different death saving throws around, or four. Four death saving throws killed him.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.